You know, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. I'd rather be in the presence of the Lord than anything that I've ever done, and I've had the privilege to do a lot of things. And I've been diving at the Great Barrier Reef, seen some of the most beautiful coral and fish, been diving in the Red Sea. I could go on in all the different places I've been diving. I've jumped out of airplanes. And Bob, it's an awesome experience to just be coming down at 120 miles an hour. You know, it's awesome. You know, I've flown biplanes, all kinds of different airplanes. I've had the privilege of flying, ridden motorcycles. Oh, I could go on and on, the different things that I've experienced around the world. Some of the most awesome relationships that you could even think about. But standing here in the presence of God as the worship was going on, I was just so touched. I was just touched. So there's nothing in the world that I'd rather have than to be at peace with Jesus. Being at peace with Jesus is greater than all the money that you would want or need. You know, I know a lady that was a dear friend of ours that she had millions of dollars, but she didn't know how to shake the loneliness, so she took pills and killed herself. Been in the ministry for over 40 years, but just didn't know how to turn to the peace of God. So I'd rather have the peace of Jesus and the presence of Jesus than anything in this world. I don't know what you expect tonight, but I expect God's presence and His goodness to be in this room. And you know what? He lives on the inside of you, and He lives on the inside of me. And people can take a lot of things away from us, but they can't take the presence of the Lord. You know, on the way over here, I called a lady friend of ours that's very close to my wife and me, and her husband went home to be with the Lord about 3 years ago, and she's a blessed lady financially, but again, she's by herself. And she said, you know, Pastor, she doesn't go to our church. She lives in another state. She said, you know, Pastor, I was in church this morning, and I got there early. She said, I got a particular place I like to sit, so I went early so I could get that spot. She said, but I was just sitting there. She said, it's just like Norval Hayes says, I just sitting there minding my own business. Those were the exact words she said. And she said, the Lord said to me so clear, don't keep thinking about what you lost. Remember what you have. She said, Pastor, that might not mean much to you, but she said, I just started weeping, not because I was sad, but because it filled my heart with joy. I said, well, God just gave you a rhema word. And too many times we're dwelling on the wrong thing rather than the right thing. Pastor Bob, I never want to stand in this pulpit without ever giving honor to you and joy. 50 years. And then here's one lady here, been here 48 years. 50 years you and joy have been faithful. I tell you, I don't know about you, but that That says so much to me. 50 years of faithfulness to the Lord. And I was sharing with my friend Francine, I believe it was just yesterday or whatever, some of the things you guys have been through. And none of the things that you've been through, Pastor Bob, you don't sit around and cry about it. You just keep moving and taking the next step. Not easy for you. Somebody said, well, that's Pastor Bob Nichols. He's Pastor Bob Nichols. No, it's Bob Nichols. He's a man with a gift, but he has to walk by faith just like you or anybody else would. So when these situations come in his life, it's not any easier for him to take the necessary steps that needs to be taken than it is for you and me. Do you ever stop and think about that? Oh no, Pastor Bob Nichols, he can do anything. Well, it's not Pastor. It is. He is Pastor. I don't want to take that away from him. But it's Bob Nichols when he stands before the Lord or when he's standing in front of a situation. It's Bob Nichols that's standing there, just like Don Clower stands there, Joe Cruz stands there, like Francine stands there, Charlie stands there. I care what you do. And either you believe the word or you don't believe the word. Amen. You know, I don't know if I'm going to get to preach or not, Pastor Bob. I really don't know. I come over here a lot of times, and sometimes I come with plans and stuff to do, but I don't get to do what I plan to do. But you know, I'm honored not just to be here, but I honor you whether I'm ever here or not. Because that you are let me lay the preaching side apart. You're a man of God that just lives the word of God. When we happened to come up at the same time and I got out of my car, he didn't say hello to me. He said, you know, Brother Don, every seed that you've ever sown. I hadn't seen Pastor Bob in a couple of months or a month. It's been a couple of months, I guess. Maybe, I know, over a month. And he didn't say, hello, Brother Don, how you doing? He said, you know, Brother Don, every seed you've ever sown. But you know what? That blessed my heart. And he was telling you the very same thing. I heard it just here a few minutes ago. He was telling you the very same thing. Every seed you've ever sown. And sometimes people start to complain when they don't see the fruit of the seed they've sown as quick as they want to. But I want to encourage you, don't give up. And keep honoring God. You know, one day this past week, someone was in town to honor a man of God. And they invited me and Mike Francine to go into this luncheon. And this person was 18 years old. That was touched by a man of God. And this person said, would you go along? Mike and I was invited to go along. Not so they could display their honor publicly before us, because that wasn't the point. But many years had passed. Many miles had been traveled. And a lot of water had gone under the bridge. But this person said, I'll never forget what you did for me. When I was nothing and nobody cared and nobody loved me, you loved me and you showed me the way. And I'll never forget it. Wow. You know, sometimes we get caught up in our world. But see, he sowed a seed, and he probably didn't even realize the impact of that seed that he was sowing. But that seed took a hold in that person. And that person has touched multitudes of life. I want to tell you something. God is good. I love his presence, don't you? I know you guys want to get home after a while, but can I just take my time? I just love basking in the presence of the Lord. Pastor Bob, I won't be here midnight, I promise you that. I know last Sunday I set my clock to my little timer, and I set it before I started preaching, and I looked down and it was 7 hours and 33 minutes. Well, obviously I reset it, but I could have been there 7 hours and 33 minutes. I don't know, I might have been alone after a while, but the presence of God is awesome, isn't it? Well, you know, I'm glad to have my friend Mike Francine with me tonight. He just come in from India and had one of the awesome, awesome outpouring crusades. From India, huge, huge crusade. And the pastor, one of the main pastors there, actually he's got one of the largest ministries in India. I don't know if there's anybody that's got any larger ministry than this gentleman. And he called me and he's telling me about the meetings there. And which brought great demonstration of the power of God. And now Mike's leaving in the morning. Thousands of people's already waiting for him as pastors, and he's leaving in the morning on his way to Nigeria, and he's going to 7 different cities planning a crusade for the fall of thousands of people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I appreciate what you say, Pastor Bob, about the souls here. You know, you say, that's 80,000 people that'll never be able to stand before the Lord and say, I didn't hear about Jesus Christ. You know, isn't that so precious? You know, my little great-granddaughter was at our home Friday night, and she was sitting on my lap, and she said, Papa, she said, I learn about Jesus in church. I learn about Jesus. Well, you know what? We need to learn that Jesus loves us more than anything in the world. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, there's something here that really stands out to me, and that's when Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, Paul, we have to go back and look at his history. Paul was a hater of the gospel. He despised the gospel. But one day, you know, the church had prayed for him. The Christians had prayed for Saul because he had taken the lives of Christians and had orders in his hand to take prison church people to prison. And I want to say right now, before I finish the story, you know, the Muslim religion that's growing so fast, you and I can stop this. We're not going to stop Islam by bombing them. I'm not saying for them not to go in and doing what they're doing, but we're not going to stop Islam and ISIS by bombing them and taking a few of them out. We took Osama bin Laden out, and there's others that's rising up just as evil or as wicked as he is. But you know what's going to overcome Islam? The power of the gospel. See, it's not just the gospel of preaching good news. Preaching good news is awesome, and we don't want to take away the awesomeness of the good news, but the gospel has power, not just good news. See, Saul was a member of the Sanhedrin court, and he was a very religious man. The Islamic people are religious. But religion is, there is no power in religion, but there's the power in the gospel. And that's what you and I must believe God for today, that it's not programs. I'm not going to criticize what people do in their churches and things, and that's not the intent of what I'm saying. But all of this, and when people come and accept the Lord, I'm grateful for all of that. But we got to have the demonstration of the power of God in these last days more than just some songs and receiving our offerings and the preaching and the teaching, all of the teaching and preaching. Let's not make light of that in any way whatsoever. But the power, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is power. It is power to everyone that believes. And so what was it? It was power that knocked Saul off of his animal. It was the power. Everybody say it was the power. It was the power of God that knocked Saul off of the animal. And then that voice from heaven came and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who is this? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you've been persecuting. God supernaturally changed the course of Saul's life. And I believe tonight God can change the course of somebody's life that's a part of this meeting here, or if you're watching at home by the internet. I just believe the power of the gospel is much more, and I don't want to take away from the good news, but the power of the gospel must be manifested in our lives today. Not just when we come in the church house. It's good to have the manifestation of God's power in His house, but we must have the demonstration of God's power in our life in the marketplace. Now, I'm not telling people to go up and be foolish in the marketplace or on their jobs, but let me tell you something. You can be a light in darkness no matter where you go in this world. Instead of letting the darkness consume you or take you over, the light in you is greater than the darkness. The cross is greater than the devil. Jesus Christ's resurrection is greater than the devil. The devil has been cast out. He's been sustained. He's been contained by the blood, by the word, by the name of Jesus. So he may be doing and using a lot of people, but the power and the demonstration of God is, I believe, the greatest, the horizon, the greatest rising, the greatest dawn of the power of God that you and I have ever seen. Thank you for your overwhelming excitement there. I believe it. You know, some people think because I'm 72 that my race has been run. And you know what? I think I'm just now being energized and charged for this last day visitation of the Holy Ghost. Some people say, well, y'all keep talking about that and you've been preaching about it. It's time to see it. Well, you know what? I still believe it. Just like Saul persecuted the church and he persecuted the church and he persecuted the church. He persecuted the church. But one day he didn't persecute the church, not one more time. telling you, something's going on in the spirit world today, and you and I need to have our expectation open and believe God that we're a part of the greater days. We're a part of the latter days outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And it's not just a few songs, and I'm not saying that's what we have, but a few songs, a few sermons, a few offerings, and a few people having hands laid on, and a few altar calls. But it's time to see the demonstration of the eyes of the blind opening up again, the deaf ears unstopping, and the lame start to walk again. Amen. It's time for God to give us some Ananias. Saul was blinded. Saul was blinded. He was knocked off of his animal. Here he must have been a very determined, opinionated, strong-willed individual. Stayed that way after he got saved. But you know, when he was blinded and he heard that voice from heaven, it made him a different person. You know something? There's a wind blowing. You know, when I was young and back in the revival days, and the evangelists used to come to our church, we used to sing this old song, "The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on." And it goes on to say, when you hear the sound of the mulberry trees, know the move is on. And that sound he's talking about in the mulberry trees was when David was at war. And God said, when you hear the sound, that's the time I'm going to do something. Well, you know what? The move is on. God has never stopped moving. People have quit believing, but God has never stopped moving. God is still the same God as he was when he said, Saul, you've gone far enough. I'm changing your course, boy. Boy, you, and I believe that. You know, I just like to say boy. I just like to say that because, you know, he was a man. But God said, boy, you've had enough. Boy, I'm changing your course. Boy, you're not going to hurt my people anymore. Don't you think it's time that we begin to expect some of the big names and influences of the world? If we keep praying and we keep believing God instead of fighting everybody and throwing stones at everybody, but start praying. Start believing God. And every time they say something that is contrary to the word and what we believe, we just say, I don't receive those words in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you just encircle that man or that woman. You just put labors around them everywhere they go. You just, Matthew 9:38, you send labors to them and you just cause them to have the word of God spoken to them over and over and over and over again. Is anybody here besides me tonight? See, I believe we're world changers. I don't think that we're just preachers and people in the body of Christ. I believe we're world changers. I've never stepped off of an airplane in any country I've ever gone, Pastor Bob, feeling like I'm just a man going into a country to have a crusade. I always felt every time I step off of an airplane in any country that I'm sent by God. And because I'm sent by God, I may be just an ordinary man like everybody else. My name is Don Clowers, Donald Clifford Clowers. Don't call me by my middle name, though. And Mike Francine, don't you pick up on that and start doing that. You know, when I step off of the airplane, it's like I become a different person. And I believe that everything that I'm there to do, I believe that everything I'm there to do is to bring glory to God and to bring change in nations. See, too many times we get up in the morning and we just go through our routine, we go through our day, not realizing that we're heirs of God. and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. And he went on to say, I'm not ashamed of the power of God. Now, it doesn't say it exactly in the terminology I just used, but he said, I'm not ashamed of God's demonstration. God demonstrated his power on me when I was riding down the road and I was doing harm to the church. God demonstrated his power to me, and I'm not the same man. See, what we need to do is start planning our schedule around Jesus rather than fitting Jesus into our schedule. See, that's part of the problem of believers today, is we plan to put Jesus in our life when it's convenient. But, you know, when I grew up in our house, our lives were planned around the church. If church didn't do something, then we got to do something. Maybe we'd get to go swimming, or we would get to do something, or daddy would do something with us, or mother. But you know what? If the church had something going on, we didn't do anything except go to church. Amen? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. You know, you've heard this statement before. You know, I was one of those guys that I never was on alcohol and drugs and that kind of stuff, you know, but I was drugged a lot of my life. I was drugged to church, whether I wanted to be or not. But you know, I look back and I'm grateful. I'm grateful my mother and my dad put something inside of me. Those seeds, Pastor Bob, that you're talking about. Those seeds. And see, those seeds stuck in my life. And I look at my children and I look and I see others that the seed of God's inside of them, and that seed is coming up because of us sowing the seed inside of them. The power of God is being demonstrated, and I believe that you and I need to expect something big to happen. Now, I'm talking about Islam. I'm kind of just saying a lot of different things here, but the power of the gospel is what's going to bring change to the world. The Bible said it's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance, and I really believe right now there's an undercurrent of the Holy Ghost, and God's wanting us, you know, God's wanting us to get into that. You know, when you go to the ocean and when the undertow's there, you don't want to get out in it. But I believe there's an undertow of the Holy Ghost, which is a good one, that's beginning to flow, that's drawing us in. And he said, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. And I believe God's got some people, and he's got some assignments for you and me to do. And can you imagine now, God says to Ananias, I want you to go over and lay hands on Saul. And Ananias says back to God, now, Lord, wait just a minute. Now, Saul, he's an evil man. He could hurt me. Jesus said, not anymore, he can't. He can't hurt me. He can't hurt you anymore. You know, God's got ways of doing things that you and I, we can't even dream of how it's going to happen. And that's where the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, beyond what we could ask or think. God is not small. God is not big. God is not small. He's big. And what we need to realize, our situations are only temporary. Our problems are only temporary. They're mountains that's there today, but God's greater than any of those mountains. Can you say amen? Somebody say amen. Now, I try to put myself in that place when God told Ananias to go pray for Saul. But I believe there's going to be some Sauls that God's going to raise you and me up to go. Amen? Mike, I believe something big is going to happen in Nigeria, and I'm glad you're going, not me. But we got to believe that when we go out of the house in the daytime and we're mixing with people, they're not becoming on us. Their spirit's not taking us over. We're overcoming the spirit that's against us. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. See, there's things that happens that I don't understand. There's things that happens that I don't understand. But see, I could stay in the mode of don't understand, or I can move in the faith that I have. See, too many times we want to dwell, well, I just don't understand that. I don't understand that. And God, I can't do this. No, what we do, we need to take steps of faith and believe that the power of the gospel will be manifested when we take those steps. See, I don't understand why my son was killed. Our son was killed. I don't understand that. You know, I told you the lady that was a great friend of ours. Great friend of ours. I mean, their family, our family for years, we vacationed together. We did all kinds of things together. But after he went home to be with the Lord, she wouldn't deal with life. Took pills and left and had millions of dollars. Well, she would tell me, I don't understand. I don't understand why I had to go. I don't understand why that cancer took him away. See, just because you don't understand, you don't lose your trust in the power of the gospel. I don't understand why our son was killed, but I didn't stop loving God. T.L. Osborne called Sharon and me, and he said, Don, get Sharon on the phone. And so she was on one phone and I was on the other. And this was before speaker phones when our son was killed. And so we were on the, she was on extension, I was on one. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I want to tell you something. You may not understand what's happening, but don't lose your trust for the Lord. He said, if you don't understand and you keep your love and trust for God, your faith will become greater and stronger because you don't understand and you still trust. And see, sometimes we want God to do something today and we want him to do it right now, and we stay in that zone of I don't understand. I don't understand. Instead of getting up today and saying, this is the day that the Lord hath made, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in this day, and no matter what's going on in my circumstances and around me, I'm believing in the power of God. I'm believing in the power of the gospel, that the power of the gospel will be manifested to help me take that step. You know, when our son was killed, he was killed on a Tuesday. I was in the pulpit on Sunday. I'm not bragging about that. I'm only telling you the only reason I was. God gave me the strength to do it. See, I'm not bragging about that. And God only knows what I might have said that Sunday. I hope I sowed some seed to somebody that was worth doing it. But I had the power of the gospel, Charlie, that gave me the strength to stand up on that Sunday morning, and we had just put our son in the ground. The body of our son we just put in the ground. But on Sunday, I was preaching. The next Sunday I was preaching. I was preaching on Wednesday. I didn't understand. I was talking to a friend of mine and he that pastors a church, and cancer took his wife out, and he said, Don, I don't understand. I said, well, you know what? The power of the gospel will give you the grace to go on through what you don't understand. Is anybody in this room tonight? See, this is not just exactly how I've got this laid out here and planned, but I'm following what's in my heart right now. Amen? And you know, I love the Word. Do you love the Word? And you know, even though I've learned Scripture over the years, do you know I still memorize Scripture? I don't memorize Scripture. And I quoted a little bit this morning in church, but I very seldom just get up and quote Scripture because because I'm not trying to impress anybody that I can memorize and quote some scripture, but I memorize scripture for me to be able to say over and over and over again. The other night I woke up and I was kind of laying there tossing back and forth, and I just started saying, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of man. The light shined in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. But there was a man sent from God whose name was John, who was sent to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And as I began to go on down and quote the whole chapter, and then I went to, yea, though I walk, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art. And I was asleep, Joe. Best sleeping pill you can take. No better sleeping pill than the Word of God. So you see, I don't memorize the scripture. And as I said, I very rarely get up and quote like I am tonight. I very rarely get up and quote scripture just because I don't want to just try to impress anybody with what I can do or whatever. I just want you to know that the Word of God coming out of your mouth, the Word of God's in our heart, it's in our mouth, the Word of faith that we speak. You know, speak the Word of faith. I mean, your brain may be telling you, that's stupid. Your brain may be telling you, you're hurting. Your brain may be telling you, everything's falling apart. Your brain may be telling you, there's no money in your account. Your brain may be telling you, you're going down. Your brain may be telling you, it's over. Your brain may be telling you all kinds of things, but you just keep saying the Word of God because it's alive, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55 that it will not return void. It will accomplish what it's been sent out to do, and it will prosper in that that I please. Well, somebody say, thank you, Jesus. See, I want to say it again. The gospel is more than information. Everybody say, the gospel is more than information. It's the power to everyone that will believe. It's power. It's power to change things. The gospel is power to change things. And that little sister that I was talking to on the phone, she said, Pastor, he said to me, don't keep rehearsing and thinking about what you no longer have. Start remembering what you don't have. Don't be rehearsing and thinking about what you no longer have, but start remembering what you do have. What a word. That's a word for somebody. That's a word for me. Amen. The gospel will transform you and me from darkness to light, from sin to righteousness. He'll keep us from hell and give us heaven. You know, I quote Pastor Bob every now and then. You know, I'll be going somewhere to preach, or I'll be preaching on Sunday morning. He'll call me Saturday night or something, and he'll say, now Brother Don, give him heaven in the morning. Isn't that good? I come here to give you heaven. Thank you, Pastor Bob, for that little one-liner. It's mine now. When you ain't around, I don't tell them I got it from you. He'll keep us from hell and give us heaven. Amen. See, the gospel, I want you to listen to this. The gospel does something. It's not just a sermon. The gospel does something. It's not just a message. The message is good, so I'm not downplaying the message, but you don't come to church just to hear the message. You come to the church to worship, to celebrate, to glorify God. You know, and when we were talking about the souls and we stood up and we began to shout and give God glory for the souls that's heard the message of the gospel, but we believe they're going to receive the power of the gospel. Pastor Bob said, well, they're not lined up yet, but they will be. They will be. They will be. Somebody said, well, I want to see it now. Well, just keep doing what you know to do and quit thinking about what you don't see and think about the things you do see. I got an opportunity to witness. I got an opportunity to talk about Jesus, so I'm going to talk about Jesus. And you never know when one of those persons will get saved, and it might be that one that is going to bring multitudes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows? It may be another Billy Graham. Maybe another Joyce Meyer. Maybe another Bob Nichols. Somebody say amen. I mean, you just don't know. But you see, I believe in the power of the gospel. It's the power to save. It's the power to heal you everywhere you hurt. The power to bring restoration. The power to bring restoration from something you've lost. To deliver you and set you free from bondages and supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. You know, if you're short on your payments and things because you didn't make enough money for the week, you know, you can lie in bed and you can worry about, well, we just don't have enough. We just don't have enough. And that's a fact. We're not denying the fact if you don't have enough. But you see, if you lie there worrying over what you don't have, you're not thinking about what you do have. And so therefore, you get locked into this, room of doubt and fear, and then you get into unbelief because you say, I can't do it, I can't do it. I've sown seed. But Pastor Bob said you've never sown a seed that's ever been wasted. Now, how did you say that, Pastor Bob?
Every seed you've ever sown is not in vain.
Every seed you've ever sown is not in vain. But when you're lying there at bed and the room's it's dark and, you know, you're thinking about your checking account is empty or what is going on, you know, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? That's when you need the Word of God in your heart and in your mouth. And that's why I memorize Scripture, because when it comes to me, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How is this going to come together? When I start trying to put all the hows, I don't have the answer to all the hows, and I never say, I don't know what to do. I used to say that a lot of times, I don't know what to do. But instead of saying that, I'll say, Lord, you're helping me and you're showing me what to do. And then I start saying the Word of God over and over again. And as I say the Word of God, I'll fall off to sleep. Amen. See, we need the power of God or the power of the gospel in our daily lives to deal with the issues of life. See, life is no longer simple. My little great-granddaughter, which is 3 years old, can already operate the iPad. She's 3 years old. She knows the code, how to get in and to know to this and go to that and go to this and go to that. You know, when I was 3 years old, I was playing in the sand. My little granddaughter doesn't even know what, great-granddaughter doesn't even know what sand is. I'm serious. Life has changed. Life is not the same as it was. When I was a child, we didn't lock our house. We slept with our windows open in the summer. My dad didn't take the keys out of the car. You didn't hear about all of the children being, taken, and you didn't hear all about the slaves, the sex trafficking and all of this. And did you know the sex trafficking today is a bigger industry than the drug industry is? But you know what? We can stand around and we can talk about, we got to do something with the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is going to get them women that's been taken and young girls that's been taken and their lives has been destroyed. The power of the gospel is going to change that. The power of the gospel is going to change the drug world. The power of the gospel is going to change the wrong in the world. It's not us dropping bombs. I'm not against that, as I said. But the power of the gospel is what's going to bring change in the world. Not just the preaching the word, but the power of the gospel is what's going to change the world. Is anybody here tonight? See, life is different. Right now, if I open up my phone, I can immediately be connected to somebody in the Philippines. I can look right here, push a button. Yeah, it couldn't. It does. I didn't even push a button. There it is, coming up. Actually, somebody in the church just come up on my phone right now. Somebody sitting here tonight, just come up on my phone. We're in an age of technology when somebody in Pakistan can be talking to me, or in India, or vice versa. So our world has changed. We're so close. And we depend so much on technology. Well, I believe technology is going to be used for the power of the gospel. Is anybody here? I hate to keep saying that, but, you know, I'm just believing. I'm just believing that you're hearing. I believe that you're hearing what I'm talking about tonight, that you're going to go out of here and you're going to be the power of the gospel. You're going to be the light in darkness. You know, when I walk in the room at my house and it's dark, I turn the switch on. You know, when we built our house, I had my light switches lowered than most people. And my little great-granddaughter comes in, and she wants to turn every light on in the house because she can reach them. She can't reach them in her house, but mine are lower, and she can. She just loves to go through. I said, what you turning all the lights on for? She said, Papa, I like the light. Ooh. 3-year-old, I like the light. Everybody say, I like the light. Like the light. See, that's what you are. Yeah. David, you're the light. David, you're the light. See, I don't have to stand in the pulpit to be the light. Everywhere I go, I'm a light. You're a light. The life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, the Bible said. And the darkness didn't comprehend it. But God said, just because they didn't comprehend it doesn't mean I'm going to sit back and do nothing. The Bible said he sent one by the name of John to bear witness of the light that would come, and that the true light would come. My friends, the true light has come. And you and I don't have to sit here in fear and worry. We don't have to sit here and be dismayed tonight, because we have the power of the gospel to walk every day. And when everything comes against you and me, when somebody maybe walks out of our life, or somebody destroys our character, or somebody says something about us, we don't have to think about what they did. What we need to think about is what he did. What did he do? He died on the cross. He gave us your grace. You were singing about that grace tonight. I just started from the inside just thanking you, Lord, for the grace. If it wasn't for your grace, where would I be? Where would I be if it wasn't for your grace? You know, as I said, life has changed. Life has changed. Recently, I was meeting with somebody, and this young man, his father had abandoned him, And because his father abandoned him, he didn't have anybody to guide him. And he got in a lot of trouble and did a lot of things. But I just embraced him. We were standing at a IHOP. I embarrassed him a little bit, but I really didn't care. I embraced him and I said, you know, I don't care what you've done. You've gone to prison now and you've paid the price, but what's important is what you do. See, too often we keep staying on what we've done or what they've done. It's what we do from here on out. And the power of the gospel will give you what you need to do what you need to do. It's what happens to us. You know, we have many difficulties to deal with. But anyone, the Bible says, that will believe, God gives us the power to deal with any issue that you have. There's no problem too big for God. Pastor Bob, I've never heard you complain once. You know, you just... And Charlie, I never hear you give thanks over food. For 20 years, I've heard you pray over food, and I've never heard you pray that you didn't pray for Janet. You don't know, I was listening, did you? Folks, when something happens, God didn't leave you. God didn't leave you. Well, so don't get mad at him when something happens. We're in life, and this is the prelude to the real life. So what we do here is going to be magnified one way or the other in the other life. So that's why it's so important that we get the power of the gospel in our lives. See, Paul was changed by the power of God. And once the power of the gospel took over, he never let any one of his difficulties stop him. Think about this. The same man that persecuted the church, the power of the gospel so radically changed his life, he never allowed anything that come to stop him. In Acts 28, you know, well, first of all, he was put in jail a number of times. Have any of you ever, now don't answer my question, just think about the question. Have any of you ever been put in jail? Jail's not a fun place. I've only been there once. I didn't spend the whole night, but part of the night. And I got put in there for preaching the gospel. I was in Roanoke, Virginia, and they told me to stop the services, and I wouldn't stop the services. There was a police officer by the name of T.K. Wilson, and it was on a Sunday afternoon, and he said, now, preacher, I'm telling you, you've got to be out of here by 9 o'clock tonight. I said, well, I'll cut the PA off at 9, but I ain't leaving if the Holy Ghost is still here. I'm not going to leave. I said, you might as well cuff me now. He said, well, I ain't going to do it, but if you're going, well, you know, at 1 minute after 9, I'd give the altar call, and 500 people was in the altar. And he brought German shepherds in and two other police officers under the tent. And, you know, this was back in Holy Ghost days. This wasn't in the days. I mean, some of them Holy Ghost women that had them whips, you know. They went over there in the Holy Ghost. They gathered around them, and he took the muzzle off of that German Shepherd, and that German Shepherd didn't even show his teeth. And two of the police officers fell on their knees and took their hats off, and it made T.K. Wilson so mad, and he started cussing. I mean, he started saying every bad word you could think. And I'm up there on the platform, so finally he sees all these Holy Ghost people talking in tongues, and that tent got a tent of people, just hundreds and hundreds of people, and 500 of them had come down to the altar, and he was so angry at all of that noise, and they just kept getting louder and louder, so he come up there and grabbed me and by the seat of my pants and put the cuffs on me and took me to jail. But all the way in the car, he didn't ride in the car, but the two that was driving me, I just said, isn't this good that I get the opportunity to ride with you guys? I said, hallelujah, this is wonderful. I said, we're going to have a good time when we get down to the jailhouse. I said, we're just going to praise God. I did. I didn't know any better. I didn't know to be afraid. I didn't know to say, God, why am I in this police car? I just said, oh, glory to God, and I'm handcuffed, you know, I can't hardly move, but I'm back there shouting, and then start talking in tongues. I said, y'all got the Holy Ghost? I mean, I was having myself a time, and I said, you know, guys, I said, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes for nothing in the world, for handcuffing a preacher. He said, well, we didn't do it, TK did it. I said, well, it doesn't matter. I said, y'all are following orders and taking me down here. I said, y'all would be ashamed of yourself for what you're doing to a man of God. But I said, you know what, I'm just going to pray that the Holy Ghost will get on you and change you, and you'll get saved. Oh, preacher, don't be preaching anymore. We're going to get you out of this car as soon as we can. We got down to the jailhouse, and man, they said, get that preacher, I can't stand it. He just won't shut up. He's just talking, he's just preaching. He's talking in that them languages of tongues, and said, he's just scaring us out of our wits. Well, you know, I didn't know to be afraid. I'm serious. They hand-printed me in. Did all of that stuff, took my picture, and put me in there with a bunch of drunks, and I don't know what all. But when I got in there, and I said, well, bless the Lord. Now, you think I'm kidding you? I mean, you think I'm kidding you? You folks don't know me. I mean, I could have said, here I am, Lord, with these drugs, and they all stink, and they smell, and it smells, and it's nasty in here, and it's dirty, and I don't know why I've been here, God. But I just said, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that's within me. I go over there to a guy half drunk, and I said, my name is Don Clowers. What's your name? I said, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? I mean, I went around, I had people on their knees praying the prayer of salvation. I don't know, maybe it's 100 in that tank. I don't know. And finally, they come in there and said, we got to get him out of that tank and put him in a cell by himself. He's driving everybody in there crazy. They did. Because when the warden would come in every time when somebody would make bond, and the warden would come in to get them out, I'd get the warden, and I'd just start talking to him. Warden, it's so good to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Warden, do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you have Jesus Christ? And I mean, I'd just touch him. He said, boy, don't be just touching me. Don't be touching me now. You're not supposed to touch me. I said, well, give your heart to Jesus Christ. He said, man, you're driving these people crazy. I said, isn't that good, though? I said, we're not cussing like everybody else normally is. I said, we're just having a good time. Ooh. And you know, when they had my trial the next morning, you couldn't get in the courthouse. I mean, it was jammed. It was jammed, and the double doors was open. They were in the halls, and they were everywhere. And the judge said, well, we got a special case this morning. And he said, the normal trials that are normally held in this courtroom will not be here. They'll be in room 609 and on the third floor. So it's appropriate for you to get up and go now because there'll be a judge up there for you. Well, nobody moved. So he said it again. And nobody moved. This time he took the thing and he hit the desk. And he said, I said. And so finally, one guy said, oh, I got it, Judge. That's for me. And he's the only one left. Then he said, okay, we have this special trial of this young evangelist here. And he said, evidently, he must be popular. He said, I had 500 telegrams on my porch this morning. And he said, I want us to get started with this. And he said, I want everybody that's going to testify in this trial, I want you to stand up and come to the front and be sworn in. Hundreds of people stood up. People out in the aisle would say, we want to testify, Judge! I mean, he didn't know what to do. He said, and then one dear old Pentecostal brother, I'll never forget it. He said, Your Honor, some of us don't believe in swearing. Can we affirm? I'm thinking, Lord, you got to help me now. I need the power of the gospel. But you know, later I was on the big thing. They had a big thing for the person on trial. You had to sit and face the judge, and the judge was looking this way. My back was to the congregation, and the judge would say something, and I would answer. And when I would answer, the Pentecostals, they would say, Amen! Some of them say, Glory to God. And some of them, I mean, they got going. You think I'm telling this evangelistically? I'm telling you, I got the newspaper articles to report, tell you everything I'm saying. And at one point I said something, I don't remember exactly what I said, but whatever it was I said, I mean, it flipped their switch. I mean, they was shouting, the Holy Ghost was in that room, and the judge was beating on the desk, and that made it worse because they were Pentecostal and they heard a noise, and so that gave them the freedom to keep going. You know what, Pastor Cho's church in Seoul, Korea, I've been there and preached there. Pastor Cho's church, you know, when the people pray there, he doesn't talk to them to try to get them to stop. He doesn't say amen, because if he does, they think that's the thing from to pray louder. He has a bell he rings so that they know when they hear the bell ringing, it's time to stop praying. So that's kind of the way it was. I didn't have a bell to ring. And finally, the judge said, young man, somehow you've got to get a hold of this and you've got to get this stopped. So I got up real quickly trying to obey the judge. And I whirled around and I was telling them, be quiet, be quiet. They thought I was in the spirit. I still wasn't afraid. My guy wasn't afraid. I didn't know to be afraid. I mean, that carried on. And the headlines of the paper, I can show them to you. I got them. Headlines of the paper that day, evangelist is tried and court trial turns into evangelistic service. Finally, the judge said, it doesn't look like we're going to be able to do anything with this. Let's go back into quarters and you and I talk. I said, are you going to be like Pilate? I can't believe I look back now and I think I was young. See, the anointing doesn't always have wisdom. The anointing is the anointing, but we need wisdom when we have it. Amen. But he got back there and he said, now, obviously you're a very influential young man. And he said, I've never in my whole career had anything to happen in my courtroom like this. He said, so I'm going to wait. I'm going to let you finish your meeting. I said, well, you know what? It's not been fair what they've been doing to me. I said, the country club on the hill, they go till 12 o'clock, and they override me with their PA. And then you're telling me, or TK's been telling me, and I've got permits here. I brought my permits, or I had my wife bring them. I've been in jail. And I had my wife bring them, but I brought the permits. And I said, Judge, I've got the permits, but TK won't let me go till after 9 o'clock. He said, well, you go on back, and we'll finish this trial up after the meeting's over. You go ahead and finish. I said, no, Judge, that's not right. I said, let's do the trial while you give me permission to do the meetings. Well, he didn't like it, but we didn't finish because the court, different trials was going on about stuff, you know. And finally, you know, I had the opportunity. Let me tell you this, and I'm going to close. I had the opportunity. A senator came and saw what was happening. A former senator that was a very popular man in Virginia, and he said, young man, you've been treated badly. Let me be your attorney, and we're going to sue the city, and you're going to have millions of dollars when this is over, because bringing that dog in and taking you out of church, they disturbed public worship. So there is no jury that would ever deny you millions of dollars for what's happened to you. You know, I liked the idea of all the millions of what I could do for Jesus. I really did. With Time Magazine and back then they had Look. All of those came and trying to cut a deal with me. And I'll never forget it. I had a man working for me that had been in prison. And he was about 6'6". And he loved me. But he had, you know, Wayne Myers, he always calls it a mighty Holy Ghost. And this I called him Slim. Slim had been in prison, had a wonderful wife, but he traveled and he did all of my not all of it, but a lot of my stuff as far as getting the tent raised in the early days. And it was a huge tent. It seated as many people or more than this auditorium. And it was full that night. But my practice was to go back to the tent after we went and got something to eat, then I'd pray. And I remember when all of this was going on and we'd started the lawsuits and everything to sue the city. Old Slim came up because he was praying. He come and he picked me up. He didn't just hug me, but he picked me up, put me face to face. He said, son, do you think that's the way God's got to supply your needs, is for you to sue the city? He said, why don't you just finish this meeting? Let everybody go. Let T.K. Wilson, let everybody do whatever. And you go on doing what God's called you to do. You don't need this in your life. He said, you've been having signs, wonders, and miracles. And I tell you the truth. The night before, a man with the one leg 6 inches shorter than the other come walking up on the platform. I didn't know that it was 6 inches shorter than the other one. This was the night before. And I'm walking back and forth, and I'm telling how God's going to heal you tonight, and both legs are going to be the same length, and you're going to walk out of here completely whole. And he starts telling his story of how they took part of this out and part of put that out and took this out, and that's why And I set him in the chair in 6 inches, and I'd already declared there's going to be Boy, my mind started doing all that crazy talk. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? But you know what? I started rehearsing what the Word of God says. I started rehearsing in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John walked up to the gate where it was this crippled man had been there all of his life, and they said, "It's not money we have to offer you. We have something better than money. We have the power of God. Rise up and walk." So I remembered that, and I spoke, and that leg grew out the same size as the other one. And you know, I kept in touch with him for a while, but years passed. And about 3 years ago, I got an email. He said, "I'm not computer savvy, but I found out through my daughter there's ways of finding you, and I found you. I want you to know my leg is still the same length. Both of them are still the same length. I'm still healed. Would you call me?" And he gave me his number, and I picked up the phone and called him all those years later. He said, "I'm even preaching the gospel now." The power of the gospel. I want you to stand on your feet with me right now. To finish the story, Slim looked at me, put my face in his face, and he said, "Son, you listen to me right now." I mean, Joe, I mean, he had his nose on my nose. He said, I love you, but God didn't call you to sue the city. He called you, and Pastor Bob, this was his words. This was his words. He called you to demonstrate the power of God. He said, "You leave this in God's hands." So I went to my attorney and told the attorney, he said, "Who's been filling your head with all this religious stuff?" He said, "Son, you're going to get millions." I said, "You know what? It's not worth it to me. It's not worth it to me." I said, "Just go to the judge and tell the judge to mark my name clear and give me a clear name and let me finish the meeting without any problems and without having to turn my PA system on, without being disturbed. And when the meeting's over, I'll leave town." You know, I went back to the city several times with great, great meetings. But the judge, when he saw we were dropping the case, he said, "Everything's going to be all right." And you know, I've never looked back. Never looked back and wished that I had gone on through with that lawsuit. I've never wished that or had a regret about it. I realized the power of the gospel will take care of it. You know, someone, and you know, I didn't pray for this to happen now, and I didn't prophesy any bad stuff on anybody. I didn't. So please hear me. I'm only telling you the facts. I received a newspaper from Roanoke, Virginia, from some of my friends there that sent me a T.K. Wilson 6 months later died of a heart attack. I didn't wish that to happen. I didn't pray for that to happen. Pastor Bob, I didn't want that to happen. And see, that's what I was telling him. I was quoting that scripture, and that's what made him mad. And I said, "Mr. Wilson," I called him. I said, "Officer Wilson," I said, "the Bible says, touch not my anointed." And that's when he got so angry, and he twisted my arms, and he handcuffed me and took me out in front of all of those people. But you know, I never wanted him to die and leave early. And I could tell you some more things that happened. But God vindicated me. I didn't have to vindicate myself. Whoever you are, it's having struggles and power struggles at work. Let God vindicate you at work. Let God vindicate you at work. Be a light and let the power of the gospel do the work. Now, I've gone a little longer than I really intended to go here tonight, but I want us to believe God. If you need healing in your body, If you've got a circumstance that just seems so big that you don't really know what to do, don't say that. But let's believe God that the power of the gospel is going to change that. Amen? While everybody's standing, if there's anybody in this room, if there's anybody in this room that you've never said yes to the Lord, or maybe somewhere you did say yes to the Lord, but you let life happen and you got weary, you got discouraged, and you give up, and you're not walking with the Lord, I want to pray for you. I wanted you to come and make a commitment to the Lord. Is there anybody in this room? I'm going to ask the question. Is your relationship not right with God? Are you in a situation right now that you're not right with God with your relationship? If you're in this room and you're not right with God, there's a man that loved Jesus so much is saying, Jesus loves you so much that he died on the cross that he doesn't want you to be in the state that you're in right now. He wants to heal you everywhere you hurt. He wants to help you find direction in your life. Right now, I want to pray a prayer with you. If you don't know Jesus is Lord or your relationship is not right with God, if that happens to be you and you want my prayer, pray, put up your hand and say, I'm in one of those situations and I want your prayer. Dunclowers, I want your prayer. Anybody in this room, while I wait a minute, thank you. Anybody else in this room that said thank you. Is anybody else in the room that you want your relationship to be right with God? Come on, real quickly, because this is the most important part of any service, of you saying yes to the Lord. Saying yes, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll have my relationship to be restored. Anybody else? All right, you that raised your hands, why don't you walk on down here and pray this prayer with me, would you? Would you just walk down here and pray this prayer with me right now? Come on, real quickly. Come on, put your hands together as they come on down. Every one of you that raised your hand, don't be ashamed. I don't care if you've been down here before. Tonight is the night. Tonight is the night. Tonight is the night. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else that raised your hand wants to come on down while the opportunity's here? Come on, take advantage of this opportunity. You say, I don't want anybody to know. Well, it's between you and the Lord. It's not between you and me. It's between you and the Lord. Amen. All right, let's all raise our hands and pray this prayer with this young man. Dear Lord, I come to you now. I give you my life. I surrender. I'm no longer going to try to do this on my own. I've just decided. I can't do it by myself. I need your help, Lord. Right now. Forgive me of everything. Right now, I make you Lord and Savior of my life. And from this moment forth, you're going to help me to make good decisions. Wise decisions. Walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching my life now. Amen and amen. Just go with our brother there. Let him just minister to you a little bit. Come on, everybody, let's believe God. Let's believe God for a healing, for a miracle, for a deliverance. For a healing or a deliverance. Everybody say, it's the power of God.
It's the power of God.
Say, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. How many need healing in your body? Let me see your hands. You need healing in your body. How many need healing in your body? Just hold up your hand if you need healing in your body. How many need a financial miracle? Put your hand up. How many of you need a breakthrough of some kind in your life? You need a breakthrough in your life. All right. How many has got children that's away and they're in the world and they're walking in darkness and you want to see them come back to the Lord Jesus Christ or come to the Lord? Anybody? All right. We're going to pray right now. And I want you to believe God. I want you to believe God right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.